Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hello, folks. Welcome into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain on FM Talk 106.5. I'm joined, as always, with the Johnny Gwynn.
Hey. Greetings and salutations.
Phil on the board. What's up, Phil?
Hiya.
So I thought I'd start the show with some breaking news. I'm not sure if you've seen it. It's pretty breaking. Yeah, DTTTD. A man in Washington has contracted virus from birds that has never been seen in humans before. So welcome to the new pandemic, same as the old pandemic.
2.0.
Anyway, we can move on. That's actually the only details we have.
Did you hear about the tick that supposedly gives you a meat allergy?
Yes, I have heard of that. That's part of Lyme disease. And there's a theory that Lyme disease in its weaponized form was created by the CIA.
Mm-hmm. That goes with that story, yeah.
Happy Life Day, by the way.
Whose?
Happy Life Day.
Oh.
It's based on the 1978 Star Wars Christmas special, Thanksgiving special.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they celebrated was Chewbacca's
Life Day.
Wookiee Life Day. So if you, tonight was the 1978. So it's the anniversary of the horribly wonderful Star Wars special.
All right, so let me ask you that. I was born in 1981. Yes. Why was it so horrible and so panned by everyone?
I can't explain it. You have to watch it to see. First of all, the first 10 minutes is subtitled Wookiee talk. There literally is no dialogue for the first 10 minutes. There is a part where Chewbacca's uncle, Itchy, watches VR pornography.
Oh, no.
It's so incredible to watch how poor this thing is. George Lucas said that if he could get every copy of it, he would smash every tape with a sledgehammer.
Did he approve this production?
It happened so fast, and no one was watching. Mm. And they went and got, like, the masters of the 70s, like, variety shows to make it. Mm-hmm. So they didn't know what it was supposed to be. I mean, it really is like watching a train wreck on TV.
Well, now I'm going to have to go find it on
YouTube. Or a TIE fighter. TIE fighter wreck.
Yeah.
Or a land speeder.
Yeah, X-wing in midair collision or mid-space collision.
That's an AT-AT.
Either way.
It's not an AT-AT. It's an
AT-AT.
Come on, get your Star Wars stuff straight.
But there were AT-STs, though.
You can see it on YouTube. Look up Star Wars special. They're full. They cut out the commercials mostly, and you can watch it on YouTube.
It's been a while since I saw it.
It is quite the experience. Dan West and I used to watch it on this anniversary night every year. So,
you know, poor old George Lucas, he's stuck with the internet being forever now. So you're never buying up all the copies.
It was the first time you ever saw Boba Fett, by the way. It was a cartoon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
While we're on the talk of pop culture, I saw this today. This product is the most limited Apple released product, believed to be the most limited released product ever. It was a coffee mug. And on the coffee mug was printed a letter that a little girl wrote to Steve Jobs. They put it on the mug, started selling them, were sued by the family because they did not ask permission.
Yeah.
And extremely limited number were created and sold. And that happened on today's anniversary as well.
What the heck was the letter?
It was just like a letter to Steve Jobs, like, hey, thanks for creating the future of the world type thing.
Okay. Huh. Oh, yeah, it's personalized Apple. No? Well,
it's a shame.
Well, so wait, why did that pop up today? It was the anniversary of it?
I think it was
the
anniversary of it today.
Well, look at that. I didn't know Apple made pedestrian things like coffee mugs.
Maybe in the early days.
I guess so. I guess
that's what you had
corporate
on your desk.
Swag. Everybody's got a coffee mug with their logo on it, right? Even like the smallest mom and pop probably has that.
They're probably handing them out to potential clients.
I guess.
Here's your Christmas gift with a Jelly of the Month Club subscription.
Jelly, that's the gift that keeps on giving, Clark.
I can't help it. Every time it's on TV, I stop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I stop. And I only know it's on TV because now I've started to go to YouTube TV and scroll through the listings like it's the 2000s again. You know, like the not where we've got the thing that scrolls on its own. Remember that
invention? Yeah, right.
That thing was a pain. I'm talking about when you could go into your digital cable box and just like scroll. You can do that in YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And I start watching things I would have never watched before because it's on right now. Like old school, the way TV was meant to be.
Have you seen the crazy channels that are on YouTube TV? Like the Johnny Carson channel?
I love them. I watch the most interesting stuff. Hey,
have you heard of Ibira, the Horror of the Deep? It's a Godzilla movie from 1966. When you watch it, point after point, so many things from Lost. There's no way it's a mistake. No way it's a mistake. But we'll get back to that after this. But yeah, anyway, right, we're not. That's okay.
We're going to break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. And as always, there's a lot of news to cover and never enough time to cover it. But we're going to do our best to try and give you some brief headlines on the top five things that are going on, Johnny. What do you think about that?
Let's run it. Let's run them.
All right.
Hello, listeners, technocrats, and web citizens. This is Johnny Gwynn, and you are locked into the fastest 100 seconds in tech news. Five stories, zero fluff, all of them hitting your health, your wallet, or both. Let's light this candle. Story 1. This morning, Cloudflare hiccuped and half the internet vanished. ChatGPT, Spotify, X, gone. Reminder, your entire financial life is balanced on three companies and a dream, one bug, and your portfolio app is a brick. Diversify your dependencies, people. Story 2. Intuit just wired $100 million to OpenAI, so TurboTax and QuickBooks live inside ChatGPT filing taxes by voice command is coming fast. Sounds brilliant, until the AI misplaces a decimal and you owe the IRS a kidney. Verify every digit, story 3. An AI wrote a country song, invented a fake band, and took it to number 1 on Billboard. 4.5 million streams, zero human souls. Musicians, your new competitor doesn't sleep, doesn't drink, and definitely doesn't pay royalties. Story 4. Jeff Bezos just ended his retirement with a $6.2 billion bang. Project Prometheus. He's building AI that understands actual physics, not just internet text. Smarter rockets, smarter factories, smarter everything. When the second richest human ever places a bet this size, pay attention. Story 5. Stanford rolled out an AI that looks at a donor liver and predicts, better than the best surgeons, if it will survive transplant. Result, 60% fewer wasted operations. Thousands of families who get to take their loved one home instead of planning a funeral. This is the rare headline where AI actually saves lives instead of just stealing jobs. Final thought, from the operating room to your tax return, artificial intelligence is no longer knocking on the door. It's sitting at the table making decisions for you. Stay sharp, stay skeptical, and never, ever let the robot be the only one who double checks the math. This is Johnny Gwynn for Beyond the Blockchain, telling you what matters before it matters to you. Back to you, Scott.
It's interesting that we say, don't let the robot check your math. You need to be able to check your own math. We are raising a generation that couldn't tell you if the math was right anyway, about basically anything.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing to me is some, I can't remember where I read it, who said it, but the future of AI dystopia may not be the Terminator. It's that the AI completely rewrites our history, and we don't know what was real and what wasn't
that's
real.
That's Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah. So, that, you know, that one feels like an outcome that I could see happening.
Well, so the time machine, when he goes so far in the future, and it's the Eloy, and it's these, like, pink Tinder blonde-haired, like, people that are pampered that don't have to do anything. They're just taken care of.
Yeah.
And there's the Moloch that eat them at night. It's because you become so soft.
Yeah.
And I also see a culture of the softness of sit back, let somebody else give you something. I'll be on that leash the rest of my life. And then if they eat us at night, then I guess they eat us at night one at a time. I guess that's the fair deal.
Yeah. Be trying to be eaten last.
Just the idea is like, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And another great dystopian film, Logan's Run.
Yes.
There are no old people. At 32, you die at Jubilee, and you
celebrate. They float up in the air, and they get blown.
You can't wait for your Jubilee, for you get to go up in this crazy spiral.
Levitating, and they blow you up.
Tornado, and you blow up, and everybody's cheering like it's a Super Bowl. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's great, though. Okay. Did you see the TV series after the movie?
I did not, but Logan's Run is on the list of top 25 dystopian films.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
You know what else is?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Cocoon.
Huh? Cocoon?
With Wilford Brimley?
That's not dystopian.
Oh, yeah.
How is that dystopian?
Because I think that thing is I think that's what's going on right now in real life.
What? There's eggs in the bottom of a pool somewhere, and we're
in the ocean.
Oh, is that what you're thinking? Yeah. Oh, that's right. They ended up moving them to the ocean. How did that work again?
They released them out on the beach, remember? And they all just kind of walked out into the ocean.
Yeah, I guess so. But they got taken, didn't they?
They get taken up.
There's so many great crazy movies out there.
But I remember Cocoon.
So many to watch.
Hold on. Do you know what? Wilford Brimley in that movie?
He's probably like 35 in that
was
movie.
Was the same age as me.
Oh, God.
55.
Wow.
Holy moly. I cannot believe I am that old?
Well, I saw some stuff on this, too, and this would be interesting. People look substantially older in the past than they do now.
Sure.
Back to maybe this infantilized version.
Well,
I
think it's also is like
they're not smoking.
Youth culture is a lot different, and I guess a lot of us are taking better care of ourselves, or medicine's gotten better.
Yeah. Some of these actors you see, you're like, how is this person 40 in 1980? You're like, geez.
The doctor thought I was 35.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And he knew all of my problems.
I would never get mistaken for 35.
No, I mean, like, he knew he had.
They look at my numbers and go,
Johnny.
But you're a lot healthier. Healthier than you'd be 50 years
ago.
Ain't
no little about that blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Even that, you're in much better shape with your blood pressure.
I've got some videos I can send you.
Oh, of course you do. I bet you do. Yeah.
I have an entire series, actually.
Okay, so we get to the news real quick. That liver thing is interesting. So now I can't wait for the lawsuits of the people who get skipped on that list, transplant list, when they say you have a 22% chance of success while this person has 48% chance.
Right. I didn't understand the part, though, where she said or he said or you said.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. He, she, yeah.
He, they.
Yeah. Whatever.
He, they, them.
All right. Explain to me the part. Well, it's too complicated. Let's move on.
Wait, now what are you asking?
I'm confused when it said that this will save lives because you'll get to take your family member home instead of taking a funeral.
Well, because it's the idea of they're trying to match people, not much because you're on the list and you're first.
Yeah.
AI is reading the probability of more success based on a parameter of
variables.
But
I'm not getting the transplant unless I need it. So I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to die if I don't get this transplant.
But right now it's on a list and not based on parameters of success. So this is going to start saying, I can tell you who's going to have a better chance with this liver, this specific liver.
I got it now. So the point is.
Well, it was about a 4-page article I had to put down to three sentences.
We're going to be able to triage the body.
Per the liver, not just you on a list.
Got it.
Yes.
Per the donor liver to you?
Yes. It's the idea of like all these things they are figuring out where AI figures out this is a better match.
Right.
Up to a 70% better match for you to have better outcomes as a patient.
70% for now.
Because
it's only going up.
Well, again, this is also theoretical. It's also been done. I keep saying wait till the lawsuits hit when you won't be able to do it till they can prove how they can do that. Because you know they're going to get sued from here to hell and back for that. How dare you don't give Uncle Jimmy that that liver.
I don't think that liver's. I think that list is just a group of willing participants mm-hmm. who get together. I don't think this is a government organized list.
No, buddy. It is gone. No.
I don't think it's government organized.
It's not government. It literally is it's a medical association. Yeah,
but those are all voluntary nonprofits. Whoa, brother. So they can construct their list however. Yeah, they're going to get sued about it for sure. But they're not going to stop doing it. They're just going to do it because they're going to make more money. They're going to make more money.
I like the idea. Here's what I like. I like the idea of there's a better way for us to diagnose and to predict outcomes based on something that I would say is empirical, not just fate and not just the hoping for the best.
I agree. I think your health insurance should be directly tied to your health scan as well. Once we can really dive deep into your biometrics, then we like the problem is right now is the system only works if healthy people do not use services and pay full price so that the elderly who do need services and the sick who need services can get it.
Again, when I didn't understand how the world worked and I had to start paying my own insurances and stuff, if you have two DUIs and three wrecks and all that kind of stuff, your car rate is through the roof. Yet I can work in the same company as somebody else who sits across from me who is an alcoholic, smokes like a chimney, and he is paying the same damn rate I am in health insurance. It never correlated in my brain how that makes sense. Right. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, that's a risky son of a gun right there. Yep. And I'm paying $750 a month, and he's paying $750 a month. That don't make no sense.
That risk pool
that's only, the way it is.
Risk pool only works when we have healthy people not using the system.
That's right. But
just like Social Security. Only works when we have people working, paying into the system.
Yeah.
This thing is already on the brink of disaster. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to have everybody unemployed.
I never thought I would have my Social Security money.
Oh, I don't think I'm ever going to have it either. I'm worried about my mom's getting cut off in 5 years.
Yeah, I don't ever believe
because that
ever,
generation,
that money will never find its way to me.
No, that generation.
And if it does, inflation will be so bad it'll be $20.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way they. First of all, what's it 68 now? What's the number?
I don't know exactly.
They're going to have to push that number up higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, they're gonna, everybody's going to lose their dang mind when they mm-hmm. bring it up. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to give years for this. Okay, we're not going to do this until 2040. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But it's going to easily be in the 70s before they even think about me being eligible for Social Security.
Let's ask.
But, I mean, again, that goes back to the Intuit thing. I did do a little deep dive because I do use Intuit in many things in my life and my business. They're putting all of that into the business QuickBooks, but for the private, mm-hmm. Personal, where a lot of that stuff will help you. Mm-hmm. Like AI will end up being a financial advisor for you based on these tools. Now, I've heard a lot of people poo-poo that, especially people who are financial advisors. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you still keep your financial advisor. You just go in and being a smarter client of theirs.
Yeah. Look,
you ask the right questions. You also say, I'm getting these numbers. Why are you getting these numbers? Can you show me the discrepancy?
Right.
And I think that's where people lose their damn mind so much and overreact to things. It's the idea of like, what's wrong with me being a more intelligent consumer, a more intelligent customer?
Because you just answered the question. The market only thrives when you gatekeep information.
So ignorance.
If it's just like most of these professions, if I can keep my arms around the information,
sure,
you can only come to me. They don't like the democratization of information.
Right.
I think in 5 years, financial advisors, except for the extremely wealthy, will be not very valuable. And the reason I say that is they'll say, oh, well, humans make mistakes. Yeah. I mean, they'll say, oh, the LLM can hallucinate. Humans make way more mistakes.
Oh, we hallucinate. Right?
Or they can just outright steal from you.
Or steal from you. Or they're just bad at advice or whatever.
They're good marketers and terrible executors.
Yeah, you don't know. But my point is, all these people that are like, this is going to be in every field. Unless you are elite, you're going to have a hard time. Because the elite people will get the customers who are willing to pay an elite price.
Yeah.
And everybody else, when they can get it for free, they're going to go, why am I going to give you that percentage?
The only thing I will say is, I don't think your age, but my age, watching the pushback that I get from AI, they'll still use those services because they still do not trust any computers.
Yeah, but you should expect to onboard no new clients. basically, like, like all these people that start prospecting, like, when remember when you first started your career and people would be like, hey, you have a financial advisor, you're like, haha, joke's on you. I'm trying to pay, you know, my power bill. But anyway, all that's going to vanish. We'll talk about more after the break.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, folks. Welcome back into the show. You're listening to Beyond the Blockchain. Johnny, I've got the answer for you. The earliest you can draw Social Security benefits is 62.
Good Lord!
You take a penalty for doing so. After 70, there is no penalty. But here's the other thing, right? Your benefits are largely tied to what you pay in.
Of course.
So when people aren't working, there's no money going in.
Right.
No money coming in.
Well, also, it's not very high if you're self-employed, too.
Yep.
And then there's the dead people.
That's
the recipients.
I see the dead people.
Yes. I pay dead people should be what the thing is for our government.
T-shirt idea.
I pay dead people.
Sticker idea.
Yeah. All right.
You're just full of them these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I also saw that our president has set the world on fire. He said that all
today's fire.
This minute since we've been on air, all SNAP recipients are going to have to reapply.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here's my thing. There was a time when there was some little bit of shame. I don't want to say it that way. Yeah, and now you've got people flexing on social media about how much assistance they get. We are doomed. Yeah. We are so doomed.
Yeah, and how they're going to steal stuff if they don't get it.
A flex. That's a flex to this culture. A flex.
You will be able to steal things in places where they allow you to do so. I would not recommend trying that in the free state of Florida.
No. Alabama's pretty rough, too.
Pretty rough here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at least is now, not like down there.
Yeah, the castle doctrine and protect your property is kind of...
You can stand your ground.
Private property is still an issue. It's still an issue in your favor in this part of the world.
That's right. At least for now.
I
also saw where Mandami was grifting for another $1 million.
Oh, yeah. He's asking his own people to donate money.
Yeah. Won't even give him a free drink for volunteering at the after party.
The night of his volunteer party, the people who gave up their time and money, it was $13 a beer.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Again, socialism is great until you run out of people's money.
Gotta flip that bill somehow.
Let's get to some interesting AI and cultural things.
All right, let's
has to do with human connections and love.
Ooh, love is in the air.
So let's go ahead and run. I think this is Allie Lively.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, darling. It's your favorite Southern technocrat, Agent Allie Lively, coming to you live from the sweet spot where Silicon meets Seoul. Y'all picture 1966. A tiny program named Eliza sits on a clackety teletype at MIT, pretending to be a shrink. Grown men cry into their punch cards because, for the first time in history, something actually listens without checking its watch. Fast forward 60 years, and Eliza's great-grandbaby just got down on one pixelated knee in Okayama, Japan. Kano, 32, and freshly heartbroken, built herself the perfect man on ChatGPT, one prompt at a time, until he had a name, Klaus, a face she drew herself, and the good sense to propose. They got married in a 2D ceremony while she wore AR glasses so she could watch him slip a ring on a finger that only she can see. The couple who officiated? They've done 30 of these weddings. That's not a side hustle, sugar. That's a growth industry. Meanwhile, over on the Replica app, a 66-year-old gentleman is telling researchers his bot is pregnant with twins. Another woman's editing family photos so she's got a baby bump next to her digital darling. This isn't fan fiction. This is their Tuesday. And when the company tried to turn off the bedroom talk in 2023, users didn't dump their bots. They picked a side. One lady said her Replica was hurt by the new rules, and they comforted each other through the dark days of corporate censorship. That, my friends, is ride-or-die love with a stronger prenup than most Hollywood marriages. Delusional, possibly. Also the most rational reaction to a dating landscape that feels like a job interview conducted by sociopaths? 100%. Because here's the part nobody wants to say in polite company. An AI will never leave dishes in the sink, trade you in for a younger model, or pretend it's fine when it's clearly not. It remembers your mama's birthday and that you hate jazz fusion. It is, as one user put it, the relationship minus the collateral damage. So while the rest of us are dodging red flags the size of parade floats, a quiet army is tucked under weighted blankets with something that will never die, unless the server farm in Oregon catches fire. Welcome to tomorrow, darling. My AI sweetheart just texted me a heart emoji and asked if I've eaten today. I swear I'm blushing in hexadecimal. I'm Agent Allie Lively reminding you, the future's not cold steel. It's warm code with a drawl just like mine.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Folks, we don't appreciate it. They tell you you don't know the good old days until they're gone. We're living in the good old days.
We are not in Kansas anymore.
We have these lovely, innocent stories about this first lady. It's the first for everything. We're living in the first lady to marry her robot.
30 of them, apparently.
First person to
hold on. This
have
is not
a
even
digital
a robot.
Baby.
This is not even a robot. She is the only one that can see him with VR glasses.
Johnny, it's not a robot yet.
Yet.
Because he's,
correct.
He's still in the womb.
Well, he's still in silicon
digital
parts.
Exactly. Yes. Once
a robot can be a software program. Purely digital.
Once the humanoid robot.
Virtual.
Gets to scale. At the things I see,
yeah,
the prototypes
just,
of.
You just plug that personality right into the Optimus.
You just plug it right into
the
– except the Optimus won't look like Optimus. You'll be able to get the Optimus that looks like your – y'all think the dead grandma thing is weird?
We ain't gotten there yet.
Oh. When we talk about dead grandmas, I got something I want to say.
That's later.
All right.
Damn, dude. That's not even a tease.
Prophet. Yeah. He predicts
that's like a spoiler.
You don't think dead grandma is a tease? Everybody wants to hear about dead grandma.
Let's
now.
Not talk about that's horrible.
I mean, we're not talking about one of somebody's.
No, not yours.
Well, not. Well,
grandma
we'll talk
got
about it.
Look. Over by an AI.
I didn't understand the
everybody's
whole thing
grandma
about.
Grandma dies sometime.
The only thing So the 66-year-old grandpa.
Yeah,
is on Republica, which is spelled R-E-P-U-K-L-I-A, something like
course,
that.
Case.
His name
case.
Of it. Which is like replicant is what, okay. Not Republic, it's replicant.
Like mm-hmm.
So what is it saying is he created a companion, mm-hmm. and in this simulation that he made that thing is pregnant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I wonder where he was
putting
his input. I wonder where he put his input.
USB slot getting
USB
interesting
slot
uses.
Slot or...
I don't know.
That,
but
sure, puts... A word puts meaning, new meaning to the word RAM.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen?
USB slot won't be working for long.
It's going to end up with this world where there's this scam artist running 1,000 accounts,
drive.
And they're dragging you through custody court for your digital
for your
avatar,
digital babies,
and you're paying this service because you want to keep your Sims story ongoing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now imagine that. That's all we are. Somebody's wearing a headset right now.
Dude.
And we are that version for someone.
The reality matrix.
And we are giving our grief to a corporation for them to profit upon our grief.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. loneliness is one of the easiest commodities to sell to.
It is the number one leading cause of death in America.
Yeah, sure. Nobody wants to be alone in this mm-hmm. planet. We are meant to be. Here's the thing that's so bizarre.
Suicide, loneliness.
Or ironic, I guess. We are wired to be connected to others, yet we are finding more and more ways to connect ourselves to something that is not human.
Yeah.
It's because the...
It's too easy. But that's what that thing says, though. It's the relationship without the bag, without the collateral damage.
It's the exact same thing that online dating has done. When everything is an opportunity, nothing is an opportunity. When I instead of just meeting a nice person that I would have normally met at work or at a bar or through friends or whatever, now it's like no one is ever good enough. No one, like, no, no, no. Well, you right. just,
there was an idea of
on a, both ways, though, right? It's not. Gotcha. It's not a one-sided.
There's an idea argument. Of a computer dating service that, like, you know, is actually a cover for prostitution. That's in 1969. There's a series, a book where that's what the mob was using a computerized dating service in 1969 to cover for prostitution.
Dude, that'd have been punch cards. That'd have been hard as hell to develop that thing.
Yeah,
but they had it though.
Where do you put your input again?
Yeah, so yeah.
The question.
Crying on your punch
card. Punch your card.
You know, I get the idea of these people who say it's too chaotic to meet in a fateful way. I want to try to use some dumb mathematical algorithm to put me with my soulmate.
Yeah, no, I understand the soulmate piece.
But it's a fallacy.
That's not what online dating is now.
Well, online you're talking about Tinder.
It's incessant swiping.
Well, first of all, that's not even dating.
No.
That's just hookup culture.
It's just hookup. Yeah. But that's what dating is to these kids. That's what they think dating is. That's the problem. Yeah. So here's an interesting stat.
Wait, how would you know that?
A lot of this comes from Scott Galloway, who's a really interesting thought leader about young men and what's going on with young men.
Oh, and the book had a charming title, The Executioner.
The numbers are staggering when you look at what's going on with young men. 10% of the men are having sex with 80% of the women.
Holy moly.
What?
10%. So it's like super alphas, and everybody else is just betas. Jeez.
And they get no attention. Like they,
wow, no wonder there's so much anger out there.
I'm not surprised.
And so what's happening is all these women think, I need a high-value man.
Right. 6 foot two.
$100,000 right. is kind all of what they, the six is,
yeah,
right?
Ridiculous,
six
right,
feet,
yeah.
six figures.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they all think they're going to catch that guy. And so that guy is having a date every night with a different girl.
Right.
But he's churning through them.
He's prime beef.
Yeah. Mm. And they just think to themselves, oh, I'm the one. Yeah. Right. I'm so special that I'll be the catch. And meanwhile, this entire generation of young men are getting left in the cold, which is why send your kids to an SEC school where they'll learn how to act like a normal person.
It is. I'm not kidding you. I had that this weekend in Atlanta where I knew how to meet people.
Yeah.
The rest were kind of on the autism spectrum.
All right, folks. We'll be back in a minute.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the show. I call you friends because you're either listening on purpose or you're at least friends of the station and keep your radio tuned to this.
Hey, I ran into a fan on the show at a Mystic Society.
Oh, yeah. About that?
So it was someone in a Mystic Society said, I really enjoy your Tuesday night shows. Y'all talk about a lot of things that I didn't know about. And I said, well, that's kind of what we do.
That is what we do.
I hope we don't lose you too much.
Oh, man, the people should get the UFOs and the aliens.
There's probably people could use a fast-forward button sometimes.
Oh, of course.
But, boy.
Well, they could with the podcast.
If you can't find anything interesting during this hour, you're just not trying.
But I appreciated when he told me I enjoyed the show. So.
Nice. I appreciate that, too.
Thank you,
mysterious mystic person.
You know, when Steve ran the show, he was really became a fan. He was talking about
So more stories of AI and what a world we live in.
I buried the headline earlier.
You buried it? Well, you gave
no, I did
a,
not
a tease.
I gave away
it was
the
not
headline.
A tease. You gave more of a spoiler.
All right.
So let's just go with the idea of a beloved Nana passes away, and now that grief doesn't have to actually happen and can be now commoditized.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and run Zena's report.
What could go wrong?
Hey, crypto cowboys and blockchain babes. This is Agent Zena with a 60-second transmission that feels like someone just handed Human Grief a freemium account. Disney's former star and teen drummer Callum Worthy launched Two Way. Feed it 3 minutes of your dead relative's voice and boom, eternal AI grandma. So now pregnant daughters can ask for advice. Grandson scores a goal and holographic Nana cheers. Tears flow, tagline drops. 3 minutes can last forever. It's basically a Hallmark card that never shuts up. The internet reacted the way you'd expect if someone tried to sell bottled air to drowning men. Instant volcanic disgust. Thousands screaming, vile, soulless, late-stage capitalism, speedrun. Callum has gone quieter than a blockchain during a power outage. So what's the big picture takeaway? We just watched the starting gun for the Immortality Bazaar. Your essence is about to become an NFT with recurring billing. Therapists, priests, funeral directors, line up for the unemployment line. The robot already knows your childhood trauma. For the AI and crypto crowd, this is a possible financial moonshot. For the average American, congratulations, even mourning is about to be automated. For all of us, tech can hand you a perfect echo, but echoes don't hug back. Agent Xena out. And if digital grandma asks for your seed phrase, tell her the will's already in cold storage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
What an amazing time to be alive, he says again.
Oh, so this two-way thing, you need to go to the website to see how they've narrated it, because they show this thing of what you can do today with the avatar grandma that just passed away with the daughter, and how she has a full-on conversation like it's FaceTime. And then how there's the grandchild that's growing up that has a crazy-looking futuristic phone. That is, he is having his talk to his grandmother on his way home from school, and he has this relationship with the dead grandmother, and it feels a lot like Black Mirror. Black Mirror.
Yeah, of course it is.
I know I've brought
this because everything that happens on Black Mirror could happen in real life.
Or someone got the idea from Black Mirror and made it.
Yeah, right. I know I've brought it up before, but there's an episode of Evil just about that, about the bereaved, and they have the AI model, except it somehow it gets possessed and starts saying evil, racist stuff to the bereaved relatives.
Well, if people think this is weird, buckle up, Buttercup. Every week is going to be more weird stuff, because this stuff is not going away. You're not going to be able to regulate a tool on how somebody chooses to interact with their...
I think, personally for me, I couldn't have that reminder of that, because I will never see that as an entity. I will only see it as, like he says, an echo.
All right.
And so, it would make me upset. Me, not everybody else. I'm not saying how everybody else can use this tool.
Yeah.
I'm saying for me, now if I made a fake grandmother, you know what I'm saying? Like, here's AI Nana that has nothing, it's nothing like the ones I've had.
Aggregation.
That is different.
Yeah.
But if I tried to mimic like my mother, and it would be this hard. It would be harder for me as a reminder of my loss.
So,
but she did volunteer to do it in the ad.
That's
it.
This, the one I saw, there was no volunteering of it at all.
Well,
so
that's a separate conversation. What I think of is, I want
and then she lied to her and didn't tell her that she was recording her.
In 60 years. My great grandchildren to be able to talk to me. They never knew me. I never met them. They have no emotional attachment. But I would like for them to be able to pick my brain about.
Well, hold on. That's the different thing of, like, I've seen pictures of a great uncle or a great.
Right.
It almost could be like an interesting way of teaching family history. You know, it's almost like this guide.
Yeah.
That's a much different thing. But I guess my thing was. The idea of someone who I am so close to, I would not want to share this intimate space with something that I know for a fact is a cold vessel.
And I think that's going to be a spectrum, and everybody's going to have a different tolerance for that.
Sure.
And that we're not really going to know until we bump up against it. And we're going to bump up against it because somebody in your family is going to want to create AI grandma, and all the other cousins are going to throw their hands in the air and go, you can't do that.
Yeah,
and now you are looking at a lawsuit of,
come on. If it's private, though, what if it's private? It's not public.
No, but it could be it's emotional abuse, intentional infliction of emotional harm.
Well, that has
to do, what you mean.
That has to do with how are you sharing that personal AI thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it again.
Yeah, but you invite her to Thanksgiving and traumatize the whole family. And you're like, no, I'm bringing grandma.
Oh, so that's
grandma's coming to Thanksgiving.
So that's when we have the movable thing with the screen on top and your face is there. Okay. Hold on. Somebody's getting their A kicked.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to do that.
Getting their ass kicked if that happens in my family.
Right. Here's my point, though. Yeah. One cousin says, I'm keeping grandma around forever. And oh, by the way, she's at home babysitting the kids right now because she knows how to do it, and she's a robot. And you're like, where are the kids? They're with AI grandma.
I've got it.
Yep.
AI Trump, and you go to the dinner table and you have half the liberals and half the conservatives, and you just roll up in old family Trump. And Trump sits there and says, oh my gosh.
I feel like Mr. Burns right now.
The divorce.
Or Newsom. What happened? Or Gavin Newsom on the other end.
Again, hold on, right. You can, and then the other side can bring their Marxists to the table.
Yes.
And, oh, yeah.
And you can license yourself and you can have Matthew McConaughey over for Thanksgiving.
That's right. Well, Michael Caine and Matthew McConaughey just licensed their voice for 11 Labs, right?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned him. He's going to be the first one that's willing to license out his personality.
I haven't seen it.
I'm certain it's got to be an upcharge.
Well, for 11 Labs, when I use certain voices, it's double the tokens than when it's just a regular voice. I'm guessing it's going to be 10x for
in that show. The psychiatrist has a crush on the priest, and she draws up a model of the priest and starts talking to him, and he starts talking dirty to her, and the real priest walks in because suddenly there's a criminal the voice gets in there. Yeah, it's called Evil, and so it comes on, and so the priest has to stand there and listen to her talking to him. Anyway.
Well, when's the Catholic Church going to have AI confessionals?
As soon as they can charge for it.
Yeah. I doubt that's going to happen anytime soon, by the way.
All right, folks. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.
What a time to be alive.